Welcome, dear ones. Good evening or good morning, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church services on this Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. I'm so glad to see you all, Sister Lucy and Brother James. It has been a while, but I am well by God's grace, and I hope that the Lord has been great with the outreach in Australia as well. Our opening song to our Wednesday night midweek church meeting is entitled Bringing in the Sheaves, and if any one of the dear ones would like to participate, you could just bubble up. Welcome, Brother Dick. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and in dreary eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Words disappeared on me there for a minute, but here we go. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained, our spirits often grieves. When the weeping's over, He will bid us welcome, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Oh. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Wow, that's almost out of my range.
Amen. Welcome, dear brethren that are coming in. Sister May and Brother Dick, before we begin, dear ones, I would like to ask our dear Brother James if we will be able to open with prayer and bubble up.
Thank you, Sister Rose. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, wherever time zone you live in. So we kneel for prayer for our Maker. Loving Father in heaven, it never ceases to amaze me the joy that springs up within my heart and others when we get to fellowship with one another, though we don't even, we don't have to travel at all. We're just at the touch of the finger on the keyboard and we're connected. And we want heavenly connection though, Father. We're asking you to pour out a special blessing on this meeting that is looking into further of the book of Acts that we want to be part of, that we want to bring to completion so that Christ Jesus, the consummation, the hope of your church can come. We want to look at the book of Acts as something that you can continue through us, the living church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we thank you that this is going forward. I was just reading the newsletter of Let There Be Light Ministries, and I thank you that thousands have been attending the website, downloading, and with the help of brothers and sisters supporting prayer with their prayers and finances, souls have decided to give their hearts and lives through outreach programs, in the marketplace, and at camp meetings. Thank you for making this so vivid to us and allowing our brothers and sisters to share these testimonies, because they are thrilling, they are encouraging, and while we live in first world countries, some of us, or most of us, that are online, it's a wonderful thought to think that the most difficult place the disciples were sent, Jesus, by you first, was the very place you were killed, the very place you were condemned. And in this land of light of Australia and other places around the world, America, we see it seems hard. And we know our brothers and sisters don't have it easy in third world countries. But thank you, because there is less there, that souls are seeing the real treasure. And I pray that, Spirit, you would go before us as we work for souls to help them see that this life is not as good as it gets. And there was an original plan that God will fulfill, even if we don't want to be a part of it. Thank you that we have the most winsome message there ever was given to man. And we pray that this will go forward by ourselves giving you as instruments that you can use in your hands like a carpenter uses a tool. Thank you for allowing us to meet online and not drop out regularly, we pray. And fill us with inspiration to speak a word in season as we read the revealed will in the Word of God that's for us. We thank you also for blessing our brethren in Africa, Elder Jay and Sister S from Africa, who had some serious illnesses and had been such a fantastic help to the brethren there, and they were immediately healed. That's wonderful. To thank you for bringing them back to health like that. May their works be doubly blessed as they continue where their heart was always in. And please help our brother Bob in his errand. Perhaps he's with Sister Michelle on their errand right now. Be blessed in completing what it is that you impressed upon his heart and his wife's to accomplish and to come back safely for next Sabbath or for Friday evening. And thank you for doing this and attending to more than we ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. And I stand in agreement as well, dear brethren, dear ones. So we will continue in the study in our book of Acts, as our dear brother James had spoken. And I believe that the last thing that was mentioned was in chapter 10, verse 47. Can any man forbid water? And I'm going to just bubble down and allow any one of our brothers to be able to proceed.
Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? This is Peter, I guess, at Cornelius' place, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Hey, Peter, stay around. Well, don't just baptize us and run away here and teach us something.
That appears to be something that regularly happened, wasn't it? When disciples came, they visited and they were sent, you know, they always asked, you know, tarry. We see here the importance of the baptism, don't we? No one's to forbid water to those that want to receive the Holy Spirit, want to serve the Lord Jesus. And you notice it's water and the Holy Spirit that's given. The water representing cleansing of sin, and the Holy Spirit, the regeneration in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Should we go to chapter 11? And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. So this was obviously unclean meat that Peter recognized and could understand from Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, the clean and unclean meats, which Noah understood when offering after the flood was over and was given permission in the emergency diet to eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not.
Well, thank you for the green arrow. I was looking all over the place to find where he left off. All right. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. And we entered into the man's house. He took along some witnesses. He didn't know what they would do to him if he went by himself into this heathen's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Go get Peter. He'll tell you how to be saved. Now the angel could have done that, but he chose to use a human being to do the work instead of an angel doing it. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house may be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the words of the Lord, how that he said, John did baptize with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So they didn't even wait till he got done preaching before they poured out the Holy Spirit on them. Their hearts must have been...
Amen. Before we changed to the other page, I would like to go back to verse 4, where it says, But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, in Acts of the Apostle, on page 141, it says that Peter laid the whole matter before them. He related his experience in regard to the vision, and pleaded that it admonish him to observe no longer the ceremonial distinction of circumcision and uncircumcision, nor to look upon the Gentiles as unclean. He told them of the command given him to go to the Gentiles, of the coming of the messengers, of his journey to Caesarea, and of the meeting with Cornelius. It is so amazing that I am just looking how the Lord, by the revelation that was given to Peter, was related to something he was about to do later, so like that he would not have any difficulty in accepting Cornelius.
Amen, sis. Thank you for bringing the spirit of prophecy quotation. That it's amazing. If we were Jews, something like the diet habits of the Jews and using that to preach a truth that's about to take place in Peter's life. I'm not sure there was anything more powerful than using that kind of thing, because he would have been beside himself. As Peter said, "I'm not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." It's like it was the only clean or unclean thing. I mean, those very terms are used throughout the Old Testament that could, that's how the Jews, unfortunately, by a misunderstanding of God's character, viewed everyone else that wasn't a Jew. It sort of makes you wonder, how did they regard people that became proselytes in the Old Testament times? But here was a people that, heathen in Peter's eyes, and he has this powerful vision given him showing that what you once called common, what you understood to be common or unclean, you can have it. And then Peter explains it has nothing to do with food, has to do with the heathen or what, the Gentiles, which is where we're heading in this chapter.
Amen. And continuing in verse 17, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life? Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as," not sure the pronunciation of that word, "Phineas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word none but unto the Jews only."
Chapter 12, verse 20. "And some of them were men of Cyprus," and I don't know how to pronounce this, Cyrene, maybe, "which when they were come from Antioch, spake unto the," I'm having a problem here, "Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose the heart of they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Okay, so I'm stopping here at chapter 11, verse 27.
"In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." I don't know anything about that prophet, but if he prophesied correctly, maybe he was inspired. "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." Seems like they suffered over there in Judea. And maybe the brethren in Antioch were more well off. "Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
If there's no one have any questions or comment, I would like to touch upon verse 18, where it says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentile granted repentance unto life? In Acts of the Apostle, page 142, it reads, on hearing this account, the brethren were silenced, convinced that Peter's course was in direct fulfillment of the plan of God, and that their prejudice and exclusiveness were utterly contrary to the spirit of the gospel. They glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life? Thus, without controversy, prejudice was broken down. The exclusiveness established by the custom of ages was abandoned, and the way was open for the gospel to be proclaimed to the Gentiles. If anyone would like to add any comments or have any question.
Amen, sis. Thank you for bringing that out. Well, here's a question for us. How do you think prejudice can be revealed today among us? I mean, we know if it weren't for God, that we wouldn't know the truth. And how can we now know it's for the Jew and Gentile? The gospel was always meant for the whole world. How do you think prejudice can be carried out now so we can avoid committing the same problem as the truth goes forward to new places?
Dear Brother Jim, it is amazing that you asked that question. I am in my devotional, I have the book of Maranatha. I've been reading the book of Maranatha. And it did touch upon on devotional May 14, prejudice on the increase, as in today. And I would like, if you give me a chance, dear ones, I would like to touch upon that, because there was something that was mentioned here that I was completely surprised. And at the same time, see how the commentaries touch upon everything that is not only happening in those times, but also what's happening today. And gave also the only way that people can overcome that. And if you will give me a chance to be able to, maybe I'm going to just bubble down. Meanwhile, I'm going to place it in the room so everyone can be able to read it in the chat, okay? So meanwhile, I don't have to hold anything or hinder the meeting.
Speaking of how difficult it is to go out and preach the gospel, probably one of the difficult areas in this day and age, Brother Garai found out the other day, he was passing out his plegables, he calls them. Those are papers that are printed on both sides and folded twice. I think that's his plegable. And he handed one to some guy and thought no much more about it and went down the street, hand them out. Boy, it wasn't very long that, I don't know how they do it on Facebook, but they can contact you and communicate with you. Maybe there was information on the volante, or the plegable, that he could do it, but this guy jumped all over him because he was the head of the LGBTI, as they call it in Colombia, group in Armenia Quindío, and he was irate that this paper that Brother Garay passed out had something contrary to their ideology, and he demanded an apology. And there's something about the way the communication goes. When one person contacts the other, that gives the second one the option or the privilege or something to come back and argue with them, if you will. Well, boy, Brother Garay sent me, or Anna sent me, pictures of his communication with this guy, and he he laid it on. The guy was threatening to sue him, but I guess it fell by the way because Brother Garay proved from the Bible that that lifestyle was incorrect and wrong before God. I just hope I never have to run into that, but I probably will. Somebody else say, what do you think about, you know? And all I can say is, well, let's go see what the Bible says. This is what I think. And it'll get me in trouble, maybe.
Dear one, if you can be able to help in the topic that we were just reading about in the section where there was a question asked, I found it very much a blessing at the same time to be able to help people, especially in this topic. So if any one of the brethren would like to take a little part to read to help out for those that will be listening over the phone, Bubble up.
Be referring to what you put in the chat room here is chapter 134. Let me enlarge this a bit and get it where I can see it. Prejudice on the increase. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 3:13 and 14. He who is closely connected with Christ is lifted above the prejudice of color and caste. His faith takes hold on eternal realities. The divine author of truth is to be uplifted. Our hearts are to be filled with the faith that works by love and purifies the soul.
Amen, brother. It will be possible to adjust all matters regarding the color question in accordance with the Lord's order. Sorry, I just said possible. It will be impossible to adjust all matters regarding the color question in accordance with the Lord's order until those who believe the truth are so closely united with Christ that they are one with Him. Both the white and the colored members of our churches need to be converted. There are some of both classes who are unreasonable, and when the color question is agitated, they manifest unsanctified, unconverted traits of character. Quarrelsome elements are easily aroused in those who, because they have never learnt to wear the yoke of Christ, are opinionated and obstinate. In such, self clamours with an unsanctified determination for the supremacy.
As time advances and race prejudices increase, it will become almost impossible in many places for white workers to labor for the colored people. Sometimes the white people who are not in sympathy with our work will unite with the colored people to oppose it, claiming that our teaching is an effort to break up churches and bring in trouble over the Sabbath question. White ministers and colored ministers will make false statements, arousing in the minds of the people such a feeling of antagonism that they will be ready to destroy and to kill. And that sounds like some of what you're on the radio about, the lies put out by some people about other people. They're going to make false statements. The powers of hell are working with all their ingenuity to prevent the proclamation of the last message of mercy among them. Satan is working to make it most difficult for the gospel minister and teacher to ignore the prejudice that he will. Now, Joel's in here. He's doing a work over there, and I think it's Uganda. And probably his work is mainly among black people. He knows. Let us follow the course of wisdom. Let us do nothing that will unnecessarily arouse opposition, nothing that will hinder the proclamation of the gospel message. Maranatha 142.
So as we can see, dear Brother James and everyone, that it says that prejudice will be increasing, and they will use anything to be able to stop the last message of mercy to be able to be proclaimed. But it also gives us the ammunition of where we supposed to be when it comes to that. Even in the time when Jesus was giving a message that was very unpopular during his time. Pharisees and Sadducees subscribed, was looking for any type of prejudice to be able to allow the people not to hear him or to be able to accept the message of salvation, because they was afraid that if it became too popular, they was going to lose control of the believers. So we are going to have that, and it's going to increase more and more. But just as the spirit of prophecy and the Bible tells us, to remember 1 John 3:13-14, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And it tells you in the beginning, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abide in death. 1 John 3:13-14. So we do have ammunition from the law and to the testimony how to handle this situation. Not only when it comes to color, gender, and even when it comes to what people are actually saying is okay, we do have ammunition that we can be able to hold on to, because a lot of people not going to like for you to tell them something that they would like to do in their life, and they will always justify it. But we have to stand no matter how, because the Lord gave us an example. So we are in chapter 12. So if any one of the brethren would like to continue reading. Thank you, dear ones, for the little minute.
Can I just add to that, sis? Interesting what Brother Dick read in Maranatha 142.5. Satan is working to make it most difficult for the gospel minister and teacher to ignore the prejudice. So his instruction, which you're pointing out, to ignore the prejudice that exists, to act like it doesn't actually exist between the white and the colored people. That's fascinating. It's significant that Satan, of course, he knows what's going on, and he's just trying to blind the minister, the teacher, and may I add, every member of the church, to act like the prejudice doesn't exist. Like, just to think, no, we live in enlightened times now, that where, you know, the world is such a much better place now to live in, and, you know, that's less sinful than it once was. This is fascinating. I love prophecy. I love how it just tells it how it is. And sometimes it's hard to understand it and believe it even, because, is that it, me, Dick? because it sometimes makes you think, are we still in that same world? Is that still happening, or is that being ruled out? But if we hold fast to the prophecy, or as Peter said, that it's a light in a dark place which shineth even unto the perfect day. Yeah, amen, Sister Rose. It's still going on in even until his coming, his second coming.
Continuing the reading, we are in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and deliver him to four, I believe it says, quaternions, not sure, sorry dear ones, of soldiers to keep him, intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
That word is quaternions. That's four soldiers. And there were four of them, so he had 16 guards. That really made him look bad when the angel came out and delivered him. But anyway. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Wonder what all the other 14 were doing. Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. So I guess there were several doors on the way out, and there were guards at each one. I don't know. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Didn't wake anybody up. And he smote Peter on his side, on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." It's interesting they use the word smote, but he touched him, and his chains fell off from his hands, and they made a big clatter, and nobody heard that. I guess they would. I mean, keep these guys asleep while his brightness was in the prison cell. He could also cause them not to hear all the noise. And he said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "The garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed and wist not or didn't know that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came.
I think it was Brother, thank you for that, Brother Dick. I think it was you, Brother Dick, that was saying, Agabus, you haven't heard of that prophet in the canon of the scriptures. And of course, that's true. And there are a number of others mentioned in the Old Testament that we just don't find a book, any written records of what they prophesied. In this instance, we do know what Agabus prophesied, at least in the area of a famine coming, which did come to pass. But I was interested in seeing the way that the Christians, the early Christian churches, dealt with the fact that their poor brothers in Jewry were suffering because the Jews weren't making it easy for them to become Christians, to stay Christians, and they were making it as hard as possible through persecution, and they come to their help. Yes, I think it's that, back at verse 11, roughly, something that we're shown that we have to emulate. But it's fascinating also the fact that if they were prejudiced, if the Christians back then were prejudiced, they wouldn't be doing that, would they? They would be, you know, "Oh, well, that's their problem and that's not my problem." But when you become a Christian, when you're connected with Christ, Christ has died for how many people? Just the whites, just the blacks, just the greys, just the yellows, just the reds. All, thank you, bro. Yeah, all of them. All of them. All of them that shall ever live, that are yet to come. I want to point out also the whole world. Amen, Sister Rose. Now, did they actually keep Easter as we know it? Because just back on the other page, I know we haven't got it here, but back at the other page in this chapter 12 of Acts, it mentions the word Easter. Sister Rose, no, amen. That's correct. But it's a mistranslation. The word actually is Passover, which was the Passover given in Egypt to commemorate God passing over those who had the blood on the lintel and on the posts. So, no doubt the English translators, where this comes from, the King James Version, because they had about 1600 years of, or perhaps say 1300, 1400 years of observance of Easter as we know it today, were led to put it. It's actually the only place in the Bible where it's mentioned once, Easter, the mistranslation.
And since we had went back a little bit because of the mentioning of Easter, I also wanted to point out something that we can keep, especially when the time will come that we will be persecuted. We don't know in what way we will glorify God, either in death or life. But when when in the cell they try to secure Peter with all the enforcements that they have, here in Acts and the Apostle, in the ending of the paragraph, they have gave a statement which we can keep in our minds, that no matter how much it is that the enemy will use in the sense of manpower or devices or machinery to be able to
hold God's people in control or in prison. It says that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And I found it to such a blessing to be able to see that. That is in Acts and Apostle, page 146, when it mentioned from verse 5 and 6, in his cell he was placed between the two soldiers and was bound by two chains, each chain being fastened to the wrist of one of the soldiers. He was unable to move without their knowledge. With the prison door secure fastened and a strong guard before them, all chance of rescue or escape through human means was cut off. But man's extremity is God's opportunity. I think that is beautiful. And also a promise that we really don't have that much to fear, because greater is the one. And also touching on verse 7, that it continues the miracle that the Lord had done. And it's also a promise of comfort for us. It says in page 147 also, it is the last night before the proposed execution. A mighty angel is sent from heaven to rescue Peter. He entered the cell, and there lies Peter sleeping, the peaceful sleep of perfect trust. It reminds me when Jesus was also in the boat, and the storm was happening. Notice in that time, Peter didn't have the faith that he had now. Now he was in the same peaceful sleep as the Savior was when he was on the boat. The light that surrounds the angel filled the cell, but does not rouse the apostle. Not until he feels the touch of the angel's hands and heard a voice saying, "Arise, up quickly," does the awaken sufficiently to see his cell illuminated by the light of heaven and an angel of great.
Picking up where I left off then. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of Jews." This reminds me of a story I heard. Some Christian was in a jail, probably persecuted for his faith, and he escaped, and they caught him and put him back in prison, and he escaped again. So the next time they caught him, they said, "We're going to fix it so you can't escape." They broke his tibia, his fibula, his femur, his radius, his ulna, and I don't know whether he got the next bone up or not. They broke his bones, and he just screamed in pain. You know that hurts when you get a bone broken. They said, "Now let's see his escape." So they left him in his cell, and when he needed to go to the bathroom, one of the guards would grab him by his arms, and as he screamed in pain, they'd drag him off down to the bathroom and bring him back. And then one day he was in his cell, and either an angel or Jesus came in and said, "Rise up and leave now." And like the paralytic, when the Jesus said, it was a guy by the pool of Bethesda. He believed he could, and he got up and the pain was gone, and he started walking up the door, and there was another door open, and he walked out through that door, and he passed some of his cellmates that he recognized, and he wondered why they didn't say, "Hey, who?" Connected. Okay, I don't know where I was, but anyway, he went to visit his friends and then took off. It started raining. It rained for a couple of days, and the prison people came and brought their hounds. They were going to track this fellow down, but the dogs couldn't smell anything in all the mud and rain, and he got away. And apparently they didn't follow him anymore, and these fellows followed Peter because they never got him back in prison. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying.
Okay, shall I read another couple of verses? And are we having a season of prayer as well. I notice it's 9:56 my time. A bit different for you all. Okay. Or should I leave it there until next week? And if so, does anyone have any testimonies or prayer requests that they would like to share? I have something to share with you. What's just happened this week? I had a young man, Brother James Birch, my name, but his last name's Birch, and he's just accepted Jesus Christ. And he rang us up on he emailed, and then I texted, and we got to meet up on Sunday. And apparently he goes to a local church, and he has just decided to follow Christ 9 months ago, and he was impressed by the These Laws Restore Health track. And he said, I really want to talk about this. The Sabbath is one thing I want to talk about, and the state of the dead. And I was like, you know, in my head, yippee-doo-dah, that's great. That's wonderful. And we got to meet up. We got to pray with one another. I've given him another tract, the Sabbath tract. And he already has a copy of The Great Controversy. And I said, brother, if there was a book I would mention for you to read other than the Bible, it would be that book. He said, yes, well, I already have it, so you don't need to give me a free copy. So that's amazing. Obviously, someone's given it to him in the past. I don't know how long. He's only got passed through a few chapters and then he stopped reading it, but not negatively. He just said he's got so much to read. So I'd love to uphold him in prayer. He just seems so willing. I said, if you ever want to, you know, have a reading together, pray together, share anything, please let me know. We're probably about 50 Ks away, but that's all right. I mean, we've got social media, hey. So that was a highlight this week. I also got the privilege of praying with a dear fellow who believes in another brother. His name's John. He's being oppressed by the devil, he says, and he shared this, and he says there are a few footholds, so I'd like to keep him up in prayer too. That's my sister's father-in-law. She's not married yet. I wish they would get married soon. But she's not a Christian, so she doesn't see this as important.
Well, dear ones, we are going to close our meeting by God's grace. I hope and pray that everyone will bless, dear ones, and I would like to thank everyone for the participation and also for assisting. Please, everyone, if you can, remind our dear Elder Bob where we have left off for next Wednesday, by God's grace. And keeping in mind as we close, for traveling mercy, for Elder Rob and for Sister Michelle, and praying for all of those that were not able to come in today as well. And if any one of the dear brother or sister would like to have closing prayer, also please keep my dad during these weeks lifted, dear ones, as unspoken. And if any one of the dear ones would like to close with prayer, come bubble up.
Okay, let's bow our heads and our knees. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have to read and study your word unmolested still. We know they listen to us through our phones and our computers, but what else can we do? We're witnessing to them, though they don't recognize it. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray for those who should be here, aren't, or maybe they couldn't be. And Rose asked that her father be remembered. Not sure what his problem is, but you know. And we ask that you will bring solution to that problem. Be with each one that have prayer requests, spoken or unspoken. You know the end from the beginning, and you know what needs to be done in the lives of each person. Help us each one to recognize the details in our lives that aren't in accordance with your will, and correct them. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Uphold us with thy free spirit. Then will we teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This was David's prayer. It's our prayer. As we go on in this, the rest of the week, go with us, protect us, be with Bob and Michelle, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, keep them from harm and danger on the highways and elsewhere.
Amen. Well, God bless each and every one of you, dear ones, and good morning for those on the other side of the world, and good night to all of us on this side of the neck of the woods. Sabbath blessing. I mean, what am I saying? Sabbath blessing. Forgive me. Have a good week by God's grace, and see you on Sabbath.